cable television has provided fertile ground for animated programming, much of which has been aimed at adults. The new series Rick and Morty is a prime example of the type of shows being developed for Cartoon Network's Adult Swim evening time block, and the show lists among its many credits an El Paso native. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The new TV animated series Rick and Morty was created by Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland and debuted 2 weeks ago on the Cartoon Network after an impressive marketing buildup. James Fino is an executive producer of Rick and Morty and a partner with Dan Harmon in the show's production company, Starburns Industries. I'm happy to have him back on the program today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to talk to you. I should mention that you're also partners with Joe Russo and Dino Stamatopoulos. At Starburns Industries, you're a native of El Paso, and you and I grew up watching lots of movies together. I'm so excited for your latest series coming out. Rick and Morty is Cartoon Network's newest Adult Swim entry. Why don't you give us a quick synopsis of just what Rick and Morty is?
Well, Justin Roiland, who many of you may recognize as the voice of Lemongrab on Adventure Time, and he's done a lot of other cartoons. He, together with Dan Harmon, who's the creator of Community, they teamed up around a concept that Justin had, and he came up with like an amazing series they pitched to Adult Swim, and Adult Swim gobbled it up. And basically, what Rick and Morty is it's the adventures of a very kind of like insane grandfather scientist who takes a swig every now and then, and his grandson, Morty, who is a little slower than the average kid, but is willing to jump on all these adventures with his grandfather, Rick. And in every adventure, they either go through some portal in time or into another dimension, or they just have weird aliens that they run into. But this is all surrounding their lifestyle at, you know, in their suburban home in middle America.
Yeah, and this grandfather-grandson dynamic, and I guess even in the title sequence, which some might think reminiscently of Twilight Zone, but then it's got this really groovy music under it that also recalls Doctor Who. And I presume, since we've only got two episodes, but every episode's going to be a number of adventures going to different worlds and different dimensions with these two?
Absolutely. We quickly actually get to know the other members of the family. Rick lives in the same house as Morty, and Rick's got a dad, who's voiced by Chris Parnell, and mom, who's voiced by Sarah Chalk, and a sister, who's voiced by Spencer Grammer. Oh, and by the way, Rick and Morty are both voiced by Justin Roiland. He's like an amazing voice talent. He does the grandfather and young Morty, and does it flawlessly. He's able to jump in a conversation back and forth. So by the second episode, we already start to get to know the other members of the family very well. And midway through this season, some of the other characters pretty much have stories centered around them, and we get to know the entire dynamic a lot more intimately. This cartoon is like, it's like nothing you have ever seen before. It really is. I've worked in animation now since like King of the Hill. I worked on the first five seasons of King of the Hill. And we've all gotten used to good primetime family animation, like The Simpsons and Family Guy and King of the Hill. This breaks every rule that animation has come to know for television animation, because we've kind of like set the stage with many, many characters with many different locations, things that are very difficult to do on a weekly basis for television animation. But we're doing that with a very dedicated staff of artists who are very hardworking. They burn the midnight oil here and abroad, helping us get this animation in. So we're all really proud of this endeavor.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because just visually, it's incredibly ambitious for anyone who knows anything about television animation. And I know that Starburns Industries, your production company, has worked on other Adult Swim productions before, Moral Oral and Mary Shelley's Frankenhole, which I believe were both 15-minute shows. And here, this is a big step up to 30 minutes with lots of characters, I presume because you're constantly going to other worlds, you're having to basically create all sorts of environments that you can't reuse necessarily.
Exactly. I mean, the one thing about television animation, which, you know, Hanna-Barbera and some of the other pioneers in television animation figured out quickly, is that in order to do a weekly series, you have to have an economy of reuse of characters, reuse of locations and backgrounds sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, we typically, we know 70s animation as, you know, those pans of city streets and locations that just go, repeat over and over again in a loop. Because of our story, because our stories are so rich and we explore all these different types of terrains, there's really no opportunity to do reuse on a lot of these things, much to the frustration sometimes of some of the animators who have been for a long time now trained in a certain way for television animation. This kind of like takes a wholly different approach, and you know, we're kind of figuring out how to do it and tell our story without having to cave in to simplifying a lot of this really unique imaginative storylines that come out.
So what is the lead time on a typical episode of Rick and Morty, from basically the writing of the script to the recording the voices to the full animation and a finished product?
The process for animation these days, for just even getting a brand new show on the air, can be very long. We started with basically a request from Adult Swim for us to do an animatic of a full 22-minute episode or half hour to kind of test out this concept of Rick and Morty. But they were already telling us, like, please storyboard and create this animatic, which is somewhat like a pencil test, but already be thinking of how soon you could create the final color animation version of it. So we already knew they were thinking about a full cartoon and probably a series. These days, a lot of people have people do like a 3-minute or a 7-minute presentation. They don't even pay for an entire half hour anymore for pilots. So the fact that they were willing to back this with that commitment gave us a lot of confidence. And we did that. That was in the fall of 2011. And then we finished the pilot in the spring of 2012. And then they still had to test it, and we didn't get the green light to proceed with the series until the fall of last year. So all this year, we basically started January with writing. Dan Harmon and Justin basically leading a team, a very small team of writers. They cracked some really great stories. And we started our designing in around February. So all spring long was a nonstop, like conveyor belt almost, of four teams simultaneously, four directors, you know, kind of like leading the charge for our 10 episodes of Rick and Morty for season one. So overseas, it's about 10 to 12 weeks sometimes.
For a single episode.
Season one is, yeah, per episode, you know, until they start delivering and we start seeing animation on our, and we start cutting it in and then going back and doing corrections and things like that. It's always difficult for the first season because everybody is learning the rules of, like, how does he run? You know, how does Morty run? You know, there's a lot of things that everybody is learning at the same time. And so there's a lot of corrections that need to be made in the first few shows that take up extra time. So that's why anyone who's ever worked in animation is typically know that in season one, everyone's going to work really long hours because we're all figuring it out. But the good thing is that then a Bible then is produced that has all the do's and don'ts of how you do the characters, how you draw them, the different expressions, their walk cycles, and then that becomes the blueprint that everybody has at their desk so that everybody can more or less kind of like operate as one cohesive team.
It's interesting that the setup for this, and I know there's only been two episodes, but as you say, it's really based in and around a suburban middle-class home. And while there's these fantastical flights of fancy and explorations going on during the show, there is a family dynamic going on there. And it's certainly an irreverent and sometimes delinquent type of animated show. And it is more geared towards adults. And that's why it's on the Adult Swim time block. But it's often pivoting very quickly to become momentarily thoughtful and really insightful about the family dynamic. And in some cases, you know, they're dealing with this elderly parent that's living with them. And I'm just curious if down the road that you're going to be mining that more and more.
Absolutely. You know, there's one thing about Dan Harmon. If you've ever watched Community, and actually the very first project we worked on together with Dan was the Community Christmas special back in 2010, which was all done in stop motion. One of the things that came out when we were watching that, working with Dan on that, is that Dan is as irreverent and as hilarious as he is, and as sometimes wickedly funny, the characters speak to each other. usually there is a moment where that really touches your heart, where it could be a sad moment, but a very truthful moment, and it kind of hurts a little bit. And certainly our Christmas special had this poignant, like, moment of sadness that occurs, but then it's quickly, like, you know, the warmth of the friends of this central character uplift the entire story, you know, and make it a really nice message. Rick and Morty is a cartoon. It's, right. It's totally irreverent. It makes fun of the tropes that we've all grown up with major science fiction movies and horror movies that are kind of like thrown in our faces and turned on its head. But there are, like, in several of the episodes, really touching moments for the characters where they're confronted with their own weaknesses and their own, basically, shortcomings as human beings. So it's definitely not designed to have message, but I think the way the characters act with one another, that comes out naturally. And we have some of the best actors around, so they contribute so much to that, to making these characters real and more than just cartoon drawings.
Yeah, and another reason why it, you know, that momentary groundedness, I think, really also sets it above most of the other animated shows out there. You had a great debut 2 weeks ago with your first episode, right. And I know that Cartoon Network really got behind it, had an amazing marketing campaign going into that. You were happy with the debut, but something amazing happened between week one and week two. I know you told me the other day that viewership went up 40% for the second episode.
Nearly 40%, but still. For a show to have that big of a groundswell after the premiere is really amazing and very exciting, you know, to everybody who's involved. You know, if you can premiere with good numbers, that's one thing, and if you can hold those numbers the next week, that's fantastic. But to actually grow an audience that dynamically in the second show, it's just like we can't wait to start making more. So, you know, we're crossing our fingers and planning, you know, making plans and getting ready for more Rick and Morty so that we can keep this series, like, just growing and expanding.
Well, from what I've seen so far in two episodes, I think this one's got legs, and I want to congratulate you and the rest of the team, and it's so great to see your life's passion gaining more and more visibility. So thanks so much, James, for talking to us today.
Absolutely. I mean, I also want to just really thank, make sure everybody knows that Rick and Morty is on Monday nights. But you can also watch, one thing that I do want to point out is that Adult Swim has been very active in promoting the show on every possible platform. And in fact, you know, you can watch it online on their site, you can watch it on YouTube, you can get it on iTunes. So these guys have really gotten behind our show. And that's one of the major reasons why everybody's able to see it so quickly.
I've been discussing the new animated TV comedy Rick and Morty with one of the show's executive producers, James Fino. Fino is a partner in the LA-based production company Starburns Industries, and Rick and Morty can be seen in the Mountain Time Zone on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. You can stream past and current episodes of the show at adultswim.com or through iTunes. For more on Starburns Industries and to learn about their upcoming productions, log on to starburnsindustries.com. On Film's animated producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.